the death toll from the Ebola outbreak in West Africa this week rose to over 2,000.
The World Health Organization predicts it'll take at least 6 to 9 months and at least $600 million to bring the current outbreak under control. During those months, at least 20,000 more people are likely to be infected, they say, and half will likely die.
Well, only 3 cases have been reported in the United States so far, all of them aid workers who picked up the virus in Africa. The disease may still seem like a distant worry.
With us now is Paul Biodritsky. He's Director of Disease Control and Environmental Health at the City of Milwaukee Health Department and adjunct faculty at the UW-Milwaukee's Zilber School of Public Health. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, Paul, watching from Milwaukee, can you first give us a snapshot of the current outbreak of Ebola?
Yeah, it's still primarily centered in 4 countries in Africa, and there are really tremendous, almost unprecedented efforts on behalf of the World Health Organization and CDC to suppress, quench, and control the outbreak. And as you mentioned, they're predicting that it'll most likely continue to occur for 6 to 9 months, but things don't need to seem that dire. It does appear that there is some progress being made if we continue to sustain the influx of resources and attention to the outbreak, which, again, is thousands of miles away but has potential impact globally.
And you recently wrote a piece, I think it was in the Journal Sentinel, in effect making the case that, yes, this is far away, but yes, we should really care and be paying attention. Why is that?
Yeah, this really it was my vision around global health security, which is really a 21st century term, and it really refers to the fact that novel emerging infectious diseases can be easily transplanted thousands of miles away due to air travel and population mobility, which continues to increase in this century. So we've seen it with SARS in 2003. We've seen some of it with pandemic influenzas, including H5N1 and H1N1 this past pandemic in 2009. So we know that these diseases, although they appear to be far away, can be in our doorstep in a matter of hours, if not days.
And even beyond the diseases themselves, when we start having travel bans, when we start, in effect, shutting off, turning off the taps of the economy in different places around the world, that has effects where they're experiencing the disease and beyond.
Absolutely. And this is especially pronounced in poor developing countries, as we're seeing with Ebola. There's limited access or availability to health care, resources are limited, and in densely populated urban centers, you can have this diseases like Ebola, be readily transmitted. It does have tremendous economic impact, and it also has this specter of stigmatization, and we're seeing that with Ebola, where people now are fearful of the disease, and those that may have been exposed infected are moving farther away instead of seeking medical treatment, which makes it very challenging to control or suppress.
Now, the point you make in that piece I mentioned is that this isn't a wake-up call. The wake-up call was when the more remote rural outbreaks of Ebola happened. Did we answer that wake-up call at the time?
You know, unfortunately, we haven't, and I think many experts would agree. These were smaller outbreaks or clusters of disease in remote areas, rural remote areas, and they disappeared on their own. So really, we're a little behind the curve in terms of developing effective medical countermeasures. One reason you're seeing a lot of attention now being focused on experimental vaccines and drugs like ZMapp, which is a monoclonal antibody drug that's very experimental. And, you know, this disease was discovered 40 years ago. We had ample time to really study and develop medical countermeasures. But because of the small clusters and outbreaks that were primarily remote and self-suppressed, there really wasn't much attention spent or focused on the disease.
So the head of the World Health Organization frames this as a war and says one of the things we need is more troops, medical troops. What doctors, nurses, other healthcare workers with the right gear that they need? How can the U.S. and the rest of the international community help make sure those medical troops are available?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. As we saw with SARS in 2003, private healthcare or healthcare workers are on the front lines of fighting infectious disease, and they're one of the strongest allies of public health in that regard. So, again, part of this is building awareness among the population, not only providing healthcare providers to the affected region, but really building awareness among the general public of what the disease is and what it isn't, and encouraging, again, individuals that are symptomatic to either self-isolate or seek medical care. The United States and other countries should pay particular attention to what's happening in Africa, because it is a poor continent, poor country, strife with civil unrest. There is a lot of political unrest. Many poor populations in densely populated urban areas. So it's a matter of not only providing the personnel, but also the medical capability. And that means resources such as personal protective equipment. And as medical countermeasures become available, certainly we want to send that towards those countries as well. And I think there has been progress made. We've seen four countries impacted fairly rapidly. It's been about 3 weeks now, and we haven't seen additional countries brought into the fold. That doesn't mean we're out of the woods, but it provides some glimmer of hope that perhaps some of the efforts underway, the public health intervention measures, are taking hold.
What do you make of what the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has done so far here in the United States in addressing Ebola?
Well, I've been very impressed, and I've been in public health now some 31 years, and I think their response has been unprecedented in terms of working not only with the World Health Organization, but state and local health agencies, such as the City of Milwaukee. We've seen them send out guidance very rapidly through health alert networks on enhancing surveillance for travelers that may be symptomatic or visiting these countries that have been impacted. We've seen them provide key messaging and talking points to local and public state public health agencies. And then also they've been very good at keeping us up to date on medical countermeasure development, whether that be vaccines, antivirals, or new types of experimental drugs. So I think they're taking this sufficiently seriously and really sharing information in a way that they previously have not with state and locals to have us lean forward in terms of the potential for the disease occurring here in the U.S. And right now we know that risk is very low. The three cases that are in the U.S. have all been imported as a result of healthcare providers being exposed overseas and then being transported to the U.S. for medical treatment. So right now the risk is very low. This is a disease that requires direct contact with bodily fluids, including blood, vomit, feces, saliva, but generally the people at highest risk are healthcare providers, individuals who come into contact with infected patients. Those are two of the highest risk groups. And again, the general populace in the U.S. is not at high risk at this time.
I know when it comes to future diseases, it's hard to predict when, where, what, and how things will develop. But are there infrastructures you would like to see in place around the world to prepare for these kind of outbreaks that aren't currently in place?
Yes, I think the relationship between the World Health Organization and CD is absolutely critical in establishing, at least foundationally, better coordinating protocols, some perhaps international health policies, and then engaging the world in global mutual aid agreements that would address these types of outbreaks very, very rapidly. I think all of those are being discussed, potentially developed in the coming years, but I think what we're seeing now is a great opportunity to begin that dialogue strategically in developing those types of tools for future outbreaks of similar characteristics as we're seeing in the Ebola outbreak in Africa.
Paul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Very good. Thank you.
That's Paul Biadrzycki. He's Director of Disease Control and Environmental Health at the City of Milwaukee Health Department and adjunct faculty at the UW-Milwaukee's Zilber School of Public Health.